Thank you for taking the time to listen to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. We hope you find it has meaning and relevance for your life. And now may you be blessed as you hear the reading of God's Word.
Our scripture lesson today comes from the book of 1 John, chapter 4, starting with verse 16. God is love. And those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness on the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not reached perfection in love. We love because he first loved us. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Thank you, Dina.
Me and Lindsay moved here about 2.5 years ago now. And before that, we had both been in school in various places, and we'd been kind of moving around, and I think we totaled up to be about 67 moves in like the 7 years or something like that. Just because, and it's not 67, I'm exaggerating. But there was a time when we were at TCU and we moved dorms every year. I was at Emory and I moved apartments and dorms every year. There was a time when we lived at KU and we actually moved because of construction 3 times within like 6 months or something like that. And so we were just kind of used to transition after a little while. And so we moved here 2.5 years ago and thankfully have been here for 2.5 years in the same house and been really enjoying having this steady residence and abiding in it and fixing up the house. But one of the things that is the benefit of a new pastor coming into town and to a great congregation like Stonebridge United Methodist Church is people are very loving and people are very welcoming. And when we first got here, we accepted many, many invitations to go out to restaurants. And so we would hit El Phoenix, and we would hit Dos Charles, and we'd hit pretty much every Mexican food restaurant in town because it was my favorite, and that's what I wanted to go do. And every once in a while, throw in a hamburger, throw in spaghetti, something like that. And we really got to know some families in the church. Now, some people are restaurant kind of people, and some people are bring them over to your house kind of people. And those people were either people that we had gotten to know really quickly, or they just had that gift of hospitality about them that says, come find out how I live. Come be in my space. And so it was always really fascinating for me. I'm a very nosy person. I just like to look around and I like to know about things. And so me and Lindsay would get invited and we'd go over to these people's houses. Now, there's a principle I developed that the further into a house you are invited, the more they actually want them to see how they live. Because we would walk in, and certain times we'd knock on the door, we'd be warmly welcomed in, and we'd be escorted exactly to the right to the formal dining area with the formal china place, you know, settings, the very nice oak table, wonderful tablecloth, and we were told to stay there and go nowhere else the entire rest of the time. And they would serve us, and they would go back to the kitchen and bring us back out. And so I always could kind of peek around the corner just to see how big of a disaster their living room was, or, you know, what kind of dead body they were hiding in the hallway, you know, that they wouldn't let us go in farther. But we always appreciated it, and it was just nice, very formal. It was great that they rolled out the red carpet kind of thing. Now, there was another kind of encounter in which we would be welcomed in, and we'd bypass the formal dining room, we'd go down all the hallway, and we'd be invited to sit on the plush leather couch. And we would sink in, and when it was time for dinner, we had a hard time removing our seats from the couch because it was just so warm and snuggly around us that we didn't want to leave. And it was very inviting to be in those kind of situations. And it's just amazing when you get that deep into somebody's life, that into somebody's house, because in the front room are usually either the very, very formal family pictures or some vase that they claim is from India or some far-off place that might be from Target or something like that. You go in a little farther and you start to see the unposed family pictures. There's the one of, you know, somebody picking their nose on the Dumbo ride at Disney World. Or we don't have that one. We do have Dumbo, but not picking your nose. That was me picking my nose, actually. Sorry, I didn't want to admit it. And you see the family pictures, the kids getting little, and you see them grow big, and you almost feel included into what these kids must have been like when they were growing up. And then you start to see pictures of the grandfathers and the grandmothers that are no longer with us and that are just cherished in that family. And then there are some memories that are hidden away in the books
that are on high places on the mantle or high places in the bookshelf, you can't really see well. Or maybe the relationships that they know are important, but they don't want to look at those people on a regular basis. And there's a lot you can tell about a family going into their house. This is not a plug that I want to come to your house and get a lot of free food, although that would be wonderful. But it's talking about how far are you willing to let people into your life? How willing are you to show all of your house to somebody, your entire life, everything that you've worked for? And then the other side of this is how willing are you to let God? How open are you to invitations? And are you expecting people to come to your house? That's another big thing, is I think we've lost this drop-by effect. When I was at TCU, I remember just hanging out. We'd always leave our doors open to our dorm rooms. I don't know how many of y'all did this in college, but you leave your door open, someone just pop in, watch TV for 30 minutes and leave. Another person would come pop in, watch 30 minutes and leave. And then you'd go to somebody else's room. And it was just kind of this thing of this communal atmosphere where you could just go sit with anybody and you were friends and you got to know each other that way. And now that we're in suburbia, we schedule play dates. We schedule dinners. We have these very formalized ways of getting together with people. There's not really a whole, like, you know, hey, you want to go out to eat right now? Okay, great, let's drop everything and go. It's, okay, it's Monday. Let me call somebody to make plans on Friday. And then we'll put it on our Blackberries. We'll put it on our schedules. The whole family will know what's going on, and we'll go out and do this. And so I don't know how open we are anymore to invitations, to welcoming, to hospitality. Or I don't know if it's become too formalized. So I decided to see just what a journey would be like if God came to my house tomorrow. So I want to show you what that might look like.
Go away! I'm busy! If you're selling Girl Scout cookies, just leave 5 boxes and go away! All right, fine, I'm coming!
Sun's out. Was it noon? Hey, God. I really didn't expect you to be here. Not at my house, but hold on a second. Okay. Hey, sorry. What you doing here? Oh, just a second. Hold on. What's up, man? I think maybe I could be there, I don't know, 5-10 minutes. I don't know. I'm in the middle of a game right now, and somebody's at the door, and I don't know how long they're going to be here. So, I guess let's say 25-30 minutes. Yeah, I'll be there. You better bring it. You're going down. All right. Okay, I'll talk to you later. Bye. All right. Sorry about that, God, anyway. Hey, I sure, come on in. Come on in. So, welcome. Didn't really expect you to be here. I guess make yourself at home. There's some Coke. There's some Coke right there if you want it. But you know, here, why don't you come on back and try it. Sorry about the mess. I just honestly didn't expect you to be here with my house. There might be some food in the kitchen. I think there's some leftover pizza from last night. Just make yourself at home. If you want to crack open a rock and get some water out of it, or hey, if you want to walk on water, we could take a YouTube video and that would just be awesome. My friends would love that. But, I mean, excuse my manners. For right now, just take any seat. I've got about 3 holes left to play. And if you could just not sit in that chair, I mean, that's my chair. And nobody sits there but me, and it's already got, you know, my figure formed into it, so you just don't want to ruin that for me. So just make yourself at home, and I really do want to talk to you. I really do want to talk to you, and so I'll just be just a second here. Let me take this shot. Oh, get on the green! Get on the green! Oh my God, it went over! Okay, well this is going to take me a little longer because I was in the zone and I'll be there in just a second, okay? So just go have a seat, I'm going to finish the hole and 2 more holes after that I'll be right with you, okay?
So how many guests do you treat like that? Now the other question is that how your life normally looks like? Because, you know, I know the difference. I mean, that was actually not my house, but if you go to our house during the week, it's usually full of what looks like an Arden cyclone that just went through the house. And then as you get invited over on the weekend, all of a sudden it's this, you know, pristine, immaculate house, and everyone walks over and says, "Wow, your house is beautiful." And we say, you know, little do you know. Robert Schneezy wrote a book called Five Practices for Fruitful Congregations that I know you studied about 3 or 4 years ago here. And one of those practices was radical hospitality. It was going over and above to welcome people into your church, into our church, to welcome them into God's presence. But the one thing is it's kind of a cultural Christianity that he wrote this book into. It's a cultural Christianity that invites us into a space for 1 hour, possibly two, if you're a five-tool Christian, that you stay for Sunday school, and then that's 2 hours that I'm in God's presence, and then I can go home. And then I've got kids' sports, and I've got all the things. He talked about three things: distraction, clutter, and willful obedience that keep us away from this radical hospitality in church. But we do it for an hour or two, and we got really good, our churches got really good across America of adopting this practice of radical hospitality, that I'm going to stand by the door, and I'm going to welcome everybody that comes in. I'm going to make them feel like they're special and important. I'm going to show them to their seat, and I'm going to love on them. I'm going to treat them exactly the way that God has showed me how to treat them, and then I'm going to go home. And it's just this, like, completely different world. And so he wrote this other book that we're studying now for the next 4 or 5 weeks called Five Practices for a Fruitful Life. How do you take all those practices that we practice inside of our church, inside God's house, and take them to your house and to your life to do this? And radical hospitality is one of those things. How do we welcome in other people? But he focuses more on, if we're supposed to love as God has loved us, if all things, it's a very United Methodist concept that God leads and we respond. So God's grace and love are out there. He's been knocking on our door for as long as we can remember, as long as we even, before we know. And it's our turn to respond, to open the door so that we can let God in, so that we can also be in God's house as well. And he talks about the same three things. He says, distraction. What is it that causes you to not hear God's knock? What are you doing that you tell God to go away? What is it that takes your focus away from God as he's talking to you? The other thing is clutter, which probably adds to the distraction. Which clutter is not just shorts and t-shirts and backpacks strewn all over the floor. Clutter might be, I've got a soccer game, followed by a football game, followed by tutoring, followed by AP class, followed by, you know, X, Y, Z that I've got in my schedule. Clutter might just mean that we don't have time for God anymore. And then the third thing he talks about is willful rebellion. It's that very same thing of, I hear you knocking, God. I know you're at the door. I'm just not going to open it. Because I know when you come in, you're going to want to take my comfy chair. And you're going to want to play my video games. And you're going to want to eat my food. And you're going to want to do this. Because when you come into my house, you are all consuming. There is no such thing as God loving you part way. When God comes into your house, God loves you all the way. There's no stepping foot just in the front room and staying in the front room. There is, all the way to the back, into the bedrooms, upstairs. You can't hide everything in the closet with God once you open the door for God. And I think a lot of it is willful disobedience, that we kind of crack the door and we say, no soliciting. I'm not sure I want to hear what you have to say. I'll come to your house and hear it because it's a lot better there. So speaking of God's house, I just was curious, if we're supposed to love God the way God loves us, what would it look like on an everyday basis? Say, I disrespected God by him coming to my house, and I played Wii instead of talking to him, and I went to apologize. What would that look like if I went to God's house?
So, completely dissed God yesterday, came over to my house, I wasn't ready, so I got some making up to do. I decided to cook him some cookies here, and I couldn't help, I ate 10% on the way over. So let's go to God's house, see if he'll forgive me. I'm not sure he's going to, but let's hope so, okay? All right, we're going to God's house, so I'm a little afraid, but let's just knock on the door, see what happens. God? God, it's like you knew I was coming or something. Anyway, just wanted to let you know I'm really sorry about yesterday. I promise that I won't do it ever again. And to show you the sign of my covenant. I baked you some cookies for you. So I'll tell you what, I'll just leave them on the table. Oh, hey! Sweet! God, you baked me cookies. You knew I love peanut butter? Oh, man, you're the best, God. This is awesome. You want me to come in? So you want me to just sit right... You want me to go sit in the living room? Okay, cool.
Dude, we're in God's house. This is sweet.
All right, you want me to just pick a chair? All right, well, these are probably mine. I mean, the uncomfortable ones, right? For the people who don't do good. I have another chair.
Oh my gosh, you should check out this chair.
God, thanks for the comfy chair. This is awesome. Let me just try this out. Oh God, you are the best. This is the life. And you make some mean cookies, God. So you say I can stay here as long as I want in your house? I think I'm just going to crash here. Are there other people coming? I see more chairs put out. Sweet, we'll just have a God party here. God, you sure know how to host people, don't you? All right, well, we'll talk again later, okay?
That was my little conversation with God the other day, and it is by no accident that my house and God's house were the same. And it's by no accident that I'm sitting in the same chair. Because the thing that Schnazy leaves out of his book that I think ought to be in there is the fact that we're not expecting visitors. We're not expecting people to come to our house anymore because they're not on the schedule. They're not on our agenda for the day, because if they are on our agenda or our schedule, we're going to be ready. Because church on Sunday morning is on our schedule. So we come in our nicest clothes, and we sit here, and we sing as loud as we can, and we pray really hard, and we have all the right attitudes, and we're very welcoming, and that's on our schedule. We're ready to do that. God doesn't necessarily want to work on our schedule. God has more of that drop-by encounter, that he is going to come, and we just got to be ready. We got to expect God to be present and real and in our lives at all different moments. And I don't know if we do that anymore. I don't know if we're ready and willing for people to just drop by our house, if we have cleaned up our lives enough. Now, on the other hand, God's door is always open. The Matthew verse that we read earlier said, "Knock and the door shall be opened to you." And in Revelations later on, it says, "I've been knocking. I am continuously knocking. All you have to do is open up the door." And so this two-way door, God is consistently trying to get into our house. And yet at the same time, we are always welcome in God's house. God is always ready. And God gives us the comfy chair. God knows what we like. God knows what we need in that moment. And that's what radical hospitality is. When you invite somebody over to your house, you don't just cook what your favorite thing is. You might cook what you're best at, but in general, when you are preparing food for somebody else, you find out if they have any food allergies. They find out what their favorite meal is. You find out what kind of drinks they like to serve for that. You find out if they have any special needs that you might need to cater for. You do your homework so you make them feel as welcome as possible. God knows you from before you were even born. Another thing you do when you invite somebody over is you create the most welcome space possible. You clear the clutter out of your living room so that they feel free. You give them the comfiest chair. You give them the best seats at the table. You really create this hospitable environment. When God comes into your life, you clear out the clutter from your room. You give God the comfy chair in your soul. You give him everything that he wants. And the third thing that God shows us on how to love and be hospitable is to be a servant. Because in the night before he died in communion, Jesus invites his friends over for dinner, basically. He invites them to the Passover meal. And it's this very ritualized, very special meal. But in this incredibly holy moment, in this incredibly holy meal, he serves them. In the liturgy we'll talk about in just a little bit, he literally gives his body and blood for them. But he also washes their feet and tells them that the kingdom is theirs. And so how many of us, not only just to other people, but how many of us can say we do that for God? to say that we are servants to you, God. We will lay everything down to make the most welcome space in our lives and then take that out and be servants to you. The Matthew verse and the 1 John verse both end with the same tenet. To be hospitable, one says, love your neighbor as I have loved them, as God has loved them. The other one says, love your neighbor as you yourself want to be loved. How many of us want to go to closed-doored houses, be sitting in the worst seats, not given the best food and drink? Because God gives us the best. God has served us. God has opened his doors wide open, made it the most comfortable place where we could ever imagine going. And all we have to do is walk through the door. And then after that, all we have to do is keep our door open to God, not only 1 hour a week at church, but all day, every day.
Thank you for listening to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. We invite you to join us for our celebration services, an uplifting mix of contemporary and traditional worship styles, as we open our hearts to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. Sunday mornings at 8:15, 9:30, or 10:45. For more information, visit our website, mysumc.org. Have a blessed day.